John Brash is with us. John, good morning to you. And look, tornado tears, wow, just how good was the champ?
Yeah, he returned after a five-month injury forced layoff last week, and he got there last week, but second up was ultra impressive in taking out the heat there on Saturday night of the Fanta Bale Super Stayers. There were three heats, New South Wales to the fore in the other heats, with the Evergreen Ebu Ripper taking out a heat, and also Blue Moon Rising also scoring there. But Tornado Tears took time honours in running 41.96, just outside the track record. And to say he's back, that's an understatement. He's back bigger, brighter, better than ever, Tornado Tears, and he's going to be a short price favourite to take out that Fanta Bale Super Stayers on Saturday night. The box draw was conducted after that event, and Double G, the Queenslander, has come up with box number 1, Poco Dorado 2, Boomdown 3, Black Impala 4, Tornado Tears has drawn 5, Hot Tip in 6, Blue Moon Rising 7, and Epi Ripper out in box 8, the reserves Peppertide and Taken King. The tab.com.au early market on that has Tornado Tears at $1.30, Poco Dorado at $7, Double G at $7, Blue Moon Rising at $10, Epi Ripper at $18, Black Impala at $18, Boomdown at 34, Hot Tip 51, Peppertide 51, and Taken King also at 51. So Tornado Tears, the short price favourite for the Fanta Bale Super Stayers. We also saw 8 heats of the Australian Cup there on Saturday night at the Meadows, and the winners there were Black Opium for Shona Thompson in 29.91. She's Gifted for Deb Coleman in 30 and 36. Miss Splendor Miro for Dave Gill in 29.73. Dinah Paddy, Andrea Daly, 29.67. My Redeemer, the Melbourne Cup winner, in 29.71 for Dave Gill. Dinah Oscar for Andrea Daly in 29.94. Deliver for Shona Thompson in 29.70. And we had to wait to race 11, the final heat of the Australian Cup. And the fastest heat winner was Bago Bye Bye, the Queensland train, by Darren Russell in 29.54. And we had Darren on the program a couple of weeks ago and made reference to Bago Bye Bye, who'd been sent over to New Zealand for a campaign after there, after a couple of misdemeanors earlier on in his career in Queensland, and really excelled in New Zealand, taking out the New Zealand Cup late last year. And Darren got the Greyhound back earlier this year and had been trialling the house down in Queensland at Albion Park at Ipswich, and went into that race at the remarkable odds of around $7, and ran the fastest heat. The box draw hasn't been conducted for the Australian Cup final yet. That will be done at a function a little later on this afternoon. So we will have that box draw known a little later on today, plus a market out. At this stage, pre-box draw for the Australian Cup, Bago Bye Bye, Poke the Bear and Deliver all at $4, Dinah Paddy $5.50, My Redeemer $5.50, Miss Splendor Miro $5.50, Black Opium $6.50, Shimmer Breeze $15, She's Gifted $15, Dinah Oscar at $26. So that is pre-box draw. That's what you can get right now. Three equal favourites, Bago Bye Bye. The second reserve will be Poke the Bear and Deliver also at $4 at the moment. But as I said, the box draw will be conducted a little later on today, and we'll be able to chase up all the winners next Monday here on Going Greyhounds. Well, while they had a great night of greyhound racing at Melbourne at the Meadows on Saturday night, there was no meeting here in Sydney Town at Wentworth Park. That meeting was abandoned. And joining us on Going Greyhounds this morning to tell us a little bit more is the CEO of Greyhound Racing New South Wales, Tony Mestroff. Tony, good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
Tony, you might like to take us through what took place at Wentworth Park earlier in the week. I understand there was a track rejuvenation work and then rain fell during the week. And take us through what happened in the days leading up to the cancellation on Saturdays of the meeting at Wentworth Park.
Yeah, sure. We had minor work scheduled for the week of for last week. Obviously, with the excessive rain on Friday night, then again on Saturday morning, there was excess water on the track, and obviously the meeting was unable to go ahead. So I've taken a lot of calls from participants and so on. There's no issues with the track. We'll be racing there on Wednesday and then obviously again on Saturday, just depending on obviously weather. But there's no major issue with the track. The excess rain on Friday particularly and again on Saturday morning didn't allow for the race meeting to go ahead.
Tony, were there certain spots on the track that did have washouts that were unable to be affected there, that affected the ongoing meeting there on Saturday night?
Yes, I think it was just generally the amount of water on the track. It wasn't any particular spot. It was just the amount of water was seen not to be safe to race. And obviously, you know, welfare's at the forefront of everything we do, and it was decided to obviously abandon the race meeting.
I suppose there's no, in particular, good time to be able to do a track rejuvenation, but with the rain that fell, that just made it impossible to get the track back into racing order.
Yeah, clearly. And look, there's no good time to obviously renovate. We've obviously got some big racing ahead with the Golden Easter Egg campaign coming up. So it was decided that this was the best time to go ahead and rejuvenate the track. Obviously, we did predict there'd be that much rain. That wasn't showing up in any radar. So, look, unfortunately, we lost the meeting. But, the track is in good shape and ready to race on Wednesday night.
Now, in regards to future track preparations, have you guys had any meetings with the track curators at Wentworth Park and the track management there at the Wentworth Park venue?
Yeah, obviously our staff have been in touch very quickly to ensure that everything's in place, not to lose any meetings. That's not obviously in anyone's best interest. Obviously, it was decided to call the meeting off to give all participants ample time. That was the idea. But look, we're working with the track team at Wentworth Park to ensure that doesn't happen again.
All right. So, as you say, weather permitting, everything will be back on track for Wednesday night's program.
Yeah, correct, John.
And as you say, there's some exciting times coming up at Wentworth Park. Of course, we're heading towards the Golden Easter Egg again for 2019. But I organised this interview with you a little earlier in the week, or late last week, I should say, when it was announced that you've got a new race on the horizon, and that's the Friday Night Lightning Series. And you might like to tell us a little bit about this. Of course, at the moment, we race Wednesday and Saturday nights at Wentworth Park, but these meetings throughout March and April are going to be conducted on Friday nights.
Correct. We'll be racing Friday and Saturday. The concept on Friday, starting March 15, is called Friday Night Lightning. It's basically a new shortened form. The races are predominantly 280 metres. It's around generating interest in the sport, trying to bring a new person to Wentworth Park on a Friday night. You know, corporates coming down from the city also. There's quite a number of universities within the area. So we know people are time poor, shown by the success of Big Bash. So it's going to be a real event. We're pretty excited about the concept. We've got, you know, it's Party at the Park with obviously an on-course DJ, mechanical bulls, lightning hot tubs. There's obviously plenty of food and drink, and there's a big screen featuring not only Sky Racing but the NRL matches that night. So pretty exciting concept that we think we'll be able to roll out in a broader sense in summer.
Well, this day and age, of course, we're getting more of the short course racing, and you guys are taking advantage of that and calling it the Friday Night Lightning. And every race on the program will be over the 280 metres on the Friday nights, and this is going to go for a period of 5 weeks, starting March 15, March 22, March 29, April 5 and April 12. And it's also going to be rewarding for trainers that nominate greyhounds for these race nights, and they're going to be awarded points on where their greyhound finishes in particular races.
Correct. They'll be awarded points every week, culminating in the winner. There's prize money of $10,000. That's broken up, $7,000 to the winner, $2,000 to the second place trainer, and $1,000 to the third place. The idea is obviously to get the most consistent trainer. We obviously want to give an incentive for the trainers to come each week. Also, the prize money for heats carries $1,600, and for the final, it's $2,500. So there is a boost in prize money there, but more importantly, an incentive for trainers to come each week, and we'll have points accumulating in a winner at the end of the 5 weeks.
So there'll be the different class of race on those particular nights. All different grades will be catered for?
Yeah, they will be. There'll be all different grades. Obviously, you know, the Masters and C-grade dogs. There'll be three different grades. So it's very big incentives for trainers to turn up each week, and a prize money boost as well.
As you say, Tony, we're looking at greyhound racing and to try and get the Poke back into interested in greyhound racing and to come along on a Friday night. And you say it's like a T20. You're going to have races run in the space of a couple of hours there, all over the 280 metres. And you say you're going to have a lot of off-track entertainment to try and get the folk there, not just to be based on watching what's happening on the track.
That's right. Obviously, we're there for greyhound racing, but it is really an event. You know, the sport is looking for a different form and a boost and an excitement. Obviously, there's been music and excitement on the night. It's all finished in 3 hours. I think the first race is at 5:52 and the last race is at 8:42. So it's all done within 3 hours. You know, people can come down after work with plenty of time. So we think this is the next step for greyhound racing. You know, the races are over in 16 seconds. So quite exciting. And hopefully, you know, it'll all success of the series. And then we'll be able to pull out a racing program and more extension over the summer period.
Yeah, Tony, well, folks like my age and my era, like, went to greyhound racing or the gallops or the harness racing for the actual spectacle of the race. But this day and age, people go for the entertainment factor, and you've got to incorporate those people as well, and you've got to put on an event for those people that come along as well, and hopefully will turn them in the, like the greyhound adoption program will be there on the night, and they may be able to adopt a greyhound and follow greyhound racing more closely with their experience of coming along on a Friday night to Wentworth Park for a lightning night.
Yeah, exactly, John. And obviously, we've got the Gap Greyhounds there you can adopt on the night. Yeah, obviously, with people being time poor these days and looking for activities that don't take all day or all night, you need action. And we think this will bring an excitement and a different concept to the sport. I think that's really important. We're looking for different concepts to bring a new person and a new excitement to greyhound racing and reinvigorate it. So we think this will be exciting. There'll be obviously music and so on and some gimmicks on the night. So look, we look forward to getting a crowd. We've already sold a large amount of tickets to the surrounding areas, some universities. So look, we're really looking forward to a big crowd on March 15. I encourage everyone to get down there.
And of course, all this information will be available on social media, Facebook at FridayNight.Lightning, Twitter at Lightning Friday, and Instagram. There'll be some photographs put up there at Friday underscore night underscore lightning. So if you want to know more about it, just go onto those social media handles and or go on to the Greyhound Racing New South Wales page, and trainers will have all the information there about the series coming up during March and April. Tony, you mentioned there on Friday and Saturday night. During that period, will there be Wednesday night racing or just the Friday and Saturday?
No, there'll be Wednesday night racing. Obviously, this is a new concept and trying to bring a new, completely different person to greyhound racing. So look, we're just going to continue racing as usual. We're making up for basically 5 meetings we lost in the lead up to the $1 million chase. We had 5 weeks of renovation of the track, so we thought this is a really good opportunity to put a new concept in, so therefore that's the reason we've put it together. So we think it can all coincide at once, and we look forward to racing more at Wentworth Park.
All righty, sounds very, very exciting. Is there anything else you'd like to mention in the pipeline while you're on air this morning?
Yeah, we've got some exciting concepts. We're in discussion with Racing Queensland at the moment about the possibility. There was a State of Origin last year held in Queensland, but there might be an opportunity for a State of Origin to be held also in New South Wales. So we're in discussions at the moment. Obviously, we want to make the $1 million chase bigger than ever. So there's some other announcements coming, you know, over the next month or so in relation to that. So pretty exciting period. We're obviously running up to the Golden Easter Egg Carnival, which we all look forward to. So some exciting times ahead for greyhound racing.
So the State of Origin series was held solely in Queensland last year. Would it be a joint venture this year between the two states?
Yeah, we're just in discussions. It's early discussion point at the moment. It'd be a joint where we just would run one each, and then yearly would be one race meeting held in each state. We think it was a fantastic concept last year, and we really think we can build on that. There was a huge turnover on the tab, I know, in Queensland in last year's race. I think it was the second biggest of all time in Queensland. So obviously looking to build on that and on the event, and couldn't think of anything better than to have a race meeting in New South Wales.
Yeah, just to refresh the participants' memory, we had a race over the 5.20, four Queenslanders versus four New South Wales. There was a race over the 7.20, four Queenslanders versus four New South Wales. And then there was one match race of one dog from Queensland, one dog New South Wales. And it was the best of the three races on the night. And being a proud Queenslander, I can say Queenslander won the night.
They did indeed, John. We'll be looking forward to obviously turning that around. And as I said, we're obviously going to look at the concepts and try and build on that as well. Maybe some more match racing will be in New South Wales, something that we haven't traditionally done. So we're looking at some more match racing. But definitely a great concept, you know, in discussions at the moment. Hopefully some announcements very shortly.
And just in regards to the $1 million chase, Tony, that is guaranteed for 2019?
It is guaranteed for 2019 and moving forward. It's a really exciting concept, as I said, one we're going to build on with. Obviously, after the event, had a debrief on the event. We're looking to announce some exciting concepts to even build it into a bigger race series. We obviously want to build the regional finals up subsequently a lot more. So really looking forward to seeing the better dogs in Australia in the regional areas, and then obviously culminating in a final that, as I said, we want to build on for the future.
So there will be some minor tweaking to the series this year?
Yeah, we're looking at different changes. For instance, you know, ensuring that the interstate dogs race in the regional areas before they come to Wentworth Park. Just minor changes like that we think will make the series even stronger.
Mm-hmm. All right, Tony, thanks very much for joining us this morning here on Going Greyhounds. And I'm sure that Friday night lightning series over the 5-week period there during mid-March into April was going to be a great series for you. And good luck, and thanks for joining us this morning. And we will chat soon.
Thank you for the opportunity for coming on the show. Thank you, John.
That's Tony Mestroff, the CEO of Greyhound Racing New South Wales, bringing us up to date with news this morning. Well, on Saturday night, as we mentioned at the Meadows, we saw the three heats of the Fanta Bale Superstayers, and Tornado Tears couldn't have been any more impressive. But New South Wales victories there to Blue Moon Rising and also the Evergreen Ebby Ripper. And we've got Ebby Ripper's trainer, Michael Eberan, coming online to join us this morning. Michael, good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
Michael, just gets better with age, Ebby.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I was probably more shocked than anyone. Pleasantly surprised. And, I just probably thought she was a little bit below the top class at this stage of her career, but she's full of surprises, and that was another pleasant one.
She raced a lot handier on Saturday night at Wentworth Park. She was at the Meadows, I should say. She was up running fourth down the straight the first time, and we know she can finish off her races very, very strongly, and that's exactly what she did to her opposition there on Saturday night.
Yeah, I've watched the replay a lot, and really shocked how she sprinted. I think she was within, you know, six lengths of some very fast dogs that, although they're great stayers, they, you know, they rack up some very fast sprint times, and she was really sprinting with them. So it was really a nice surprise. She's fresh in her preparation. She had 8 weeks off. It looks like the 8 weeks has done her the world of good. arrived at the track and she's wagging her tail and she really wanted to be there. So she's saying to us, we want to keep racing. So at this stage, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, as you say, she had the time off there, an injury-forced layoff, and you brought her back and gave her a 5:20 at Wentworth Park just as a conditioner. She found that a little too short, and then you took her to Victoria and gave her a run at Bendigo.
Yeah, I was wrapped with the Wenny run. She went in that. She really just gets worked at home. We don't trial her. I was really, I think she rattled off 11.6 run home. She hasn't actually won a 500 race. Even earlier in her career, she wasn't competitive over them. But she showed that night she was actually competitive in the 500. She went to Bendigo. To the naked eye, she did appear to find the line, but I've watched that replay very closely, and I think she probably, her run was finished into the home turn. But that following week, I really noticed she really tightened up. So I thought she'd run a good race, but to be honest, on Saturday, if she'd ran home in the third, I would have been wrapped. So, yeah, I was really shocked.
A win is a bonus.
Yeah, a win, yeah.
Well, she's had the 25 wins now from just over 100 starts, amassing around $275,000 in stakes earned. She's been at the top level for such a long time now, and she's been in so many feature finals, and she makes another final coming up on Saturday night. She's drawn the eight there. What about your thoughts drawing box eight and against the field that she's in against?
I don't know, to be honest, mate. It's a real privilege to be in it. I think it's all going to come down to luck. Obviously, Tornado Tears has got a little bit on the field. He's an out-and-out champion. But, when the box is open, it comes down to good luck and bad luck. So we'll see. My job's to get her in the best condition I can for the night. And it'll just come down to luck. She'll improve, I think, off where she is in her preparation. She'll be a little bit stronger run home. Whether she gets the same run through in the early stages remains to be seen. She does like to take a little bit of room to the right as she comes out of the boxes. So theoretically, she should be drawn well in the eight, but she has, in feature finals before off the eight did no good. So it'll all be down to luck, and, just really real privilege, massive honour to be in a race like this.
Now, what about going forward? She's obviously telling you at this stage she's not ready for retirement.
No, we'll keep going for as long as she wants to keep going. The Gold Cup's coming up at Wentworth Park, which she won last year, so hopefully she'll go around in that and the Association Cup. I'd love to give her another preparation at Sandown because I really enjoy racing there personally and she loves the track, so we'll see what happens. It's always in greyhound racing, whether they're 18 months old or 4 years old, it's always a day at a time, so that's what we're doing. But she's enjoying her racing and the family's enjoying racing her, so we'll keep going, and so are the owners.
Is it something to look at to breed with her later on?
Definitely, but yeah, she's out of an American sire, SH Avatar, and hopefully the sky's the limit with breeding, but we're not in a hurry for it. She's enjoying her racing and we're enjoying her racing. Mm-hmm. She's got a good fan base, and it's a real privilege. We go to the tracks, and I'll get people come up to us that want to have a pat of her, and they really love her. So it's a real thrill for us. We've been in it for a long time and had a lot of dogs, and just to get one like this is just, it's something that you probably won't have again in our lifetime. So we'll keep enjoying it as long as she's enjoying it.
Well, as I say, that she's the evergreen, but she's been here and everywhere around Australia. She's been to all the different carnivals and been successful in Sydney, New South Wales, also Victoria and also Queensland. And she's had a great career thus far, and may it continue as we go forward. And she lines up for another feature final on Saturday night. Thanks for joining us this morning, and good luck with her going into the final on Saturday night.
That's a pleasure, John. Anytime. Thank you.
That's Mike Eber, and joining us, the trainer of Ebby Ripper, who will line up in the Fantabale Super Stayers coming up at the Meadows on Saturday night. Well, last Saturday night at Bulleye, we saw the running of the Cyril Rowe Bulleye Cup Final, and we might take a listen back to how the race panned out.
Racing. Catch Me Curly, a little slow and nervous and weird, won the hop. Black Forge is right there with Hardaway Harada. They're followed then by Major Riot. Coursing deep then was Feral Frankie, and they were followed then by Pindari Express. Well back, Double Tax coming to the corner, nervous and weird in front. Black Forge is trying hard up and around the outside. Here comes Pindari. It's nervous and weird in front from Black Forge, and Pindari Express over the top. He's got him. Pindari Express has won it from nervous and weird Black Forge, and then Feral Frankie. They were followed home then by Hardaway Harada. Well back was Catch Me Curly with Double Tax. And 26.
Great win to Pindari Express for Tracy Screws in 26 and 16, defeating Nervous and Weird and Black Forge, winning by a length with a length and a quarter between second and third. It was great to see him back in winning form on the wet track there on Saturday night. And Tracy said she probably now considers stepping up the greyhound to 500 metres. She's had a couple of 500 metre trials earlier in its career at Wentworth Park and also Sandown, running pretty quick times. And a possible look at the Golden Easter Egg coming up is a chance on the radar for Pindari Express. But a couple of trials over the 500 metres will sort that out. Other news we had during the week from Melbourne. It was great to see veteran trainer with instant success, Tony Duncan, after Dashing Dino scored an upset win in the first at Sandown Park on Thursday night. The greyhound recently purchased by Tony for $600 was able to win at the lucrative odds of $101 on tab fixed at Sandown Park last Thursday night. Duncan purchased the greyhound from former trainer Jess Fothergill just 10 days prior and already racking up the prize money of $5,280 return there on Thursday night. So congratulations to Tony winning with that greyhound. A Dashing Dino scoring at big odds at Sandown Park last week. Also announced that Fast Times, former Queensland greyhound trained by Tony Brett and also owned by rugby league legend Terry Hill, will now be standing at stud, and the greyhound will be heading to Sires on Ice. So any details there can be made to Tony at Sires on Ice. Fast Times now standing at stud. Well, speaking of Queensland, on Saturday night up at Ipswich, they ran the time-honoured Vince Curry Memorial Maiden Series, and the race in its 36th year was taken out by Spotted Wolf for John Clancy, a young greyhound by Fernando Bailet of Apache Kitten, raced by Des Cecil and John Clancy up at Mwillimbah. And we've got John coming online to join us this morning. John, good morning and congratulations.
Hello, is that you, Johnny?
Yes, it is. John, congratulations on the win there on Saturday night.
Thank you very much, John.
Spotted Wolf went through the series undefeated, John. He improved with each run. He went 30-80 on the first week, 30-59 in the semi-final, and he was able to run down Tony Brett's dog, Exciting Times, there to win on Saturday night. A very, very strong victory.